sweet and sour respect to men. Oh, I should know, I've been told so many times that busy working people don't like my cries. He's a rat, the psychopath that shut the blinds.
Welcome into What the Music. We just heard the song Spectre Man by my guest, who we will be talking to shortly. That's Black Bordello, and we will be speaking with the guitarist and the vocalist, Sina Bordello. We're going to be discussing what she has been up to and get further along with everything going on in her life. We'll be speaking a little bit about the band and about the record, which I am playing cuts from. For more information, log on to blackbordello.co.uk. And if that's too much for you, can you remember my website, entertheshell.com? I really appreciate you guys for tuning in, and I'm very excited for the next guest. But before we do that, I am going to play a song. And if you, when I play this song, go check out the video when you can, because we're going to be talking a little bit about it. It's a really cool video. This is, again, off of the debut album from Black Bordello. This is Back In. Thank you.
was a little bit tired, I would wait for another tide. Sequester all the tension so it never leaked outside. But one day the burnout will get you. You become a wasteland for thoughts to breed a canister of doubt, rendering your body incapacitated. Rated a product of the burnout. I was born with the knife, the cure. They found it in my left hand, but all I did was sing. Some of us are born with it, some of us control through the cycle. We'll end when and then we all stop acting.
Okay.
Can you see me?
I can. All right.
Oh, what's with this? I don't know why there's this weird background behind
it's cool. I like
it. It's cool though.
Yeah. I didn't know you can do that with background with Skype. Very cool.
I know.
I have a real background. I'm not as cool
That's
as you.
Cool.
Yeah, but that background does fit you and you're kind of your motif, so
yeah, maybe. It's like it was all a plan.
Maybe it was. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Really appreciate it. Really enjoy your sound. And of course, I'm talking with Sina Bordello of Black Bordello. Earlier in the program, I got to play a few cuts from your debut album, which I was very excited to play. The last song, though, that I just played was the song Backache, which you just released the video to. I got to see that video. It was super cool, super lavish. When you released that video, was that what you were thinking when they pitched the idea of the video to you?
I worked on Backache with one of my really close friends, Matty. We went to art school together like 5-6 years ago. I pitched the song to her, but the song is actually comes out of a really dark place and comes out of a sort of like, basically, I guess, like a depression. And it's about like breaking out of that depression. When I write songs, they are like open to interpretation. So she kind of saw this whole idea of this high society group of people, and then there's one person that breaks out of that at the end, which is kind of what happens in the video. So with music videos, it's never exactly what you think when you're writing a song. It's almost like a completely different work in itself when it becomes a video. I really like the way that a group of people got together. I mean, like our crew was like 25 people, you know, directors and the producers, and they all like had an idea of what the song meant to them. So even though it was quite different from where it came from within me, the end result is just like a complete different thing, but it works in my opinion.
Did you enjoy wearing those outfits?
I'm going to say physically, no, but like conceptually, yes. Like, especially the scene where like they're tightening my corset, because there's this girl called Florence Grelia, and she is a really talented fashion designer. Basically, she just graduated from, I think it was London College of Fashion, but I might have got that wrong. We rented a lot of like period costumes, which include like corsets with real whalebone in them. So I had to wear one with whalebone in it, and it was like digging in, and then they were tightening it even more in the scene. And then by the end, I was like, I actually can't breathe. And then they were like, yeah, imagine what the Victorian women felt like.
I'm sure those women, though, back in the day, they were just used to it because that was just part of the norm, you know, at first when they're just get used to it. You only had to do it for a day or two, so you didn't get a chance to, you know, really bask in that. It's funny because I was watching that and listening to your music. Do you feel that you were born in the wrong era?
Yes, in the sense that all of my influences are from a completely different time. And also, like, I do feel quite disillusioned in the world that we live in at the moment. And that's where a lot of the music comes from. But at the same time, Black Bordello, in my opinion, fits into this world so well because so many things are like falling apart, and the project itself is about coping with things falling apart and like processing it and fighting against it. So yeah, so I mean, in a sense, it does feel like it's happening at the exact right time, because like, I mean, I've been influenced in science fiction, I'm influenced in like by aliens and like weird kind of, you know, weird apocalyptic worlds and stuff like that. I've always loved that sort of thing, and I've always loved Greek mythology and tragedy, and when I look at the world now, all I see is tragedy. So I think it's happening at the right time in the sense that, I mean, it's not all doom and gloom, but we are more aware of what's going on in the world at the moment. We are sort of, and like, truth has sort of died, so we're kind of in this world where you have to create your own reality. And it wasn't so much the case back in the times where like, I'm really into kind of pre-war jazz, and I'm also really into, like, 70s psychedelia and prog and rock and all of that stuff. But at the same time, this project probably wouldn't have been appreciated in those times, and I wouldn't have the freedom, you know, as a woman to do what I'm doing now, so...
It would be ironic, yeah. Because then if you were back in those times, it'd be like, she's ahead of her time, you know? So
yeah. Yeah.
It's that duality that sometimes you have to face. You know, you bring something up really interesting. And I read this. It was one of the most fascinating things that I found out about you. There was a point in your life where you didn't know if you wanted to keep on doing this. What was that moment where that doubt turned into undoubt? I guess is the word that I'm looking for, because a lot of people go through that struggle and sometimes they just give in and say, you know what, I'm done making music, or I'm done doing whatever. What was it that you found out in your search that made you turn that around?
I don't come from a music background like a lot of people that I work with. So I felt like this massive imposter syndrome whenever I was in a music environment. But ironically, even though I felt so uncomfortable doing it, it was the only thing I wanted to do and the only thing I was happy doing. And I obviously was really into jazz. So I started, you know, sitting in at jazz places in London and I'm trying to get in with that scene. I felt that I was sort of a little bit ostracized for not doing things the way everyone else did them. That's when I was sort of like, oh, I'm not getting anywhere with this. Maybe I should just give up. Maybe I should do what I was doing before, which is a mixture of like waitressing and, you know, painting, doing oil paintings. So I was like, I didn't really know whether to do that, because I'd leave places and I'd feel really like, I don't know, you just get this sense that, and that the comments that people make to you and the way that they have cliques, I guess, like where, you know, everything's as it is. And there was one time I got thrown out of Ronnie Scott. And, like, not physically.
Okay, I was like, whoa!
And then it was that point where I was like, I don't know whether this is... People are like this in this industry. Maybe this isn't the right industry for me. Maybe it's too much stress. Then I went to New Orleans. I have a really great relationship with New Orleans. And it kind of gave me my confidence back. And I kept going there. Started to realize that, yeah, I was with the wrong people in the wrong places. And then also, we as a band, Black Bordello, are just like such a close-knit group of people that they really gave me the confidence to be like, actually, you don't need to come from these music schools that everybody is coming from. That's why we want to be in a band with you, because you sound different and the songs you're writing are different. And that gave me a lot of confidence as well. So yeah, and then I kind of tried to like not do music for a bit and it didn't work out well. I just got depressed. And then I just kind of gave up. But also, like, I guess one of the things as well was my family came from Cyprus, and I mean, I guess they didn't really understand. My parents didn't really understand that one could forge a career in music, and they really wanted me to get a real job and support the family. And then it was my dad mainly that was kind of apprehensive about it, but he unfortunately passed away. But one of the last conversations I had with him was, yeah, nearly 4 years ago now, and he said, actually, you are really good at this, do it. Just, I regret so much in my life not doing the things I wanted to do. So I've told you your whole life not to do this, but now you should do it. So then I was like, yeah, maybe I should do it.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad that happened, and he was able to tell you those things. It's weird because a lot of our lives, we look at our parents. We don't want them to judge us, but we want them to acknowledge us and acknowledge the fact that what we're doing with our life is right. And it's so weird to come up living from then as it is to now. My parents are a lot older, so they don't understand kind of what I'm doing, but they're very supportive. And I think that is one of those key factors in not just in your life, but in anybody's life that's trying to do something that is outside the norm. Just because you're not seeing a physical paycheck doesn't mean you're not getting an emotional paycheck. And I think sometimes people try to compensate their emotions with pay when it should be the other way around. You know, I think that's way more important in life. And I'm certainly so glad that you have come to that part in your life. If you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
I'm 24 years old.
Wow, at 24 to have such realizations, man, I am so excited for your career and for everything you're doing. Your music, I've described it as squankalicious. I don't know if that's a real term or not, but it's very swanky. I really enjoy it.
Never had that one before, I must say. But I also quite commonly just can't tell people what type of music I make, so maybe I should start saying that.
Just do it, man. Just start hashtagging it swankalicious and
okay.
Voila. You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
When you go on your swankalicious tour, just remember me. Get me a ticket, okay? I want to see that. That's going to be that's going to be super cool. But seriously, how do you mend all these, like, you have like goth and you have rock and you have vaudeville. How do you mend all that together? I mean, obviously you do, but I mean, is that somewhat of a conscious thing?
I don't think it's that conscious. Like, it's a combination of, like, different backgrounds of people in the band. So, like, in the band, there's four of us. There's myself. There's Eddie Amos, who's the drummer. There's Anthony Boatwright, who's the bassist. And then there's Henry Carpenter. So Eddie, the drummer, comes from, like, a different background. He's done classical. He's done alternative pop. He's done soul. He went to the Brit School and, you know, where sort of like Amy Winehouse and people. And then there's Anthony has, like, he went to BIM and he's got lots of different kind of glitchy, he's into soundscapes. He's into sound art. He's also into indie, but he's also into like alternative rock, but also electronic music. And then Henry, the keyboard player, he comes from a musical theatre background. He used to have this alternative persona called Jimmy Getaway. He also started, like, he had a West End musical called The Quentin Denton Show, which he wrote and starred in. And then he became this character for a while. And now he's actually writing like a musical for the Beatles, which has been like it's just now the official like Beatles musical, which is going to
be... No way!
On West End, yeah. So we are coming from all different aspects, but we all have lots of things in common. Like, I was a choral singer and I came from an opera background, but then I went to jazz, and also like my personal preference is like rock and heavy metal. So, I don't know. It was all kind of merging together, but it took a while for us to get comfortable realizing that we weren't trying to fit into a specific genre, that we were like happy being different genres, and more than anything, being our own genre, because all of my favorite bands sort of created a genre. Like, I'm not trying to put ourselves like on that level,
right?
Because I think you have to be really pioneering a scene to be able to do that. Also, like, a lot of people start bands and they go, I'm going to start a shoegaze band, or I'm going to start a post rock band, and then they just go through all the people that have like made music like that before, and then they, you know, they end up having that. It's a barrier. It's like a box. You're making music within a box. And like, I've never really wanted to do that. And I've been more interested in breaking that box and like breaking the barriers a little bit.
It seems that you are. And again, you know, when I heard your music, I haven't heard anything like that. And I was just really fascinated and wanted to get you on the show and have your band and showcase your band to show people what's out there and what is expand people's minds and palates in music. And I'm so glad I was able to talk to you today with all of our crazy technology and everything like that.
Yeah.
It was funny because, like, we were talking, I'm like, maybe she's into technology, so I'll pitch this idea or this idea. And because I'm still like new to this.
I wanted to do the Instagram live thing. It's just like, I tried to do it once before and like
No worries.
Like, it's cool. I like this kind of form of interview.
No worries. I'm going to just, two last things. Your band comes from your family's restaurant, and with everything going on right now, I wanted to get an update and see how your family and your restaurant is doing with everything going on.
The band doesn't really have any like direct affiliation to the restaurant. It's like this restaurant that my dad started, Il Bordello, is Italian, and like it's also got a lineage. Like the meaning of the word bordello means traditionally a brothel, but also Italians refer it to as a crazy place, specifically like a house where things are going on, and like it's all a bit of a, I guess I felt a little bit in my family like I was in a sort of bordello, yeah. not in a traditional sense, but like in a chaos, in a good way, chaos, and sometimes not in a good way. But the restaurant's okay, like it's doing well at the moment. I was actually working in there during the lockdown, and I would go in with like plastic all over me, like plastic suit, visors, gloves, everything. And we'd be like doing takeaway. So luckily a lot of the people would come and pick up food because they wouldn't want to cook. So we were still trying to give Italian food to the people of East London. So yeah, that was cool. And I'm glad it's doing well as well. Pretty busy at the moment because the government here in the UK are doing this thing called Eat Out to Help Out. They subsidize half of the cost of your meal.
Oh, wow.
When you go somewhere, people are just going crazy for eating out. So, because everything's half price. So, yeah. Man, but thank you for talking about that.
Yeah, no worries. I was just curious with restaurants. You know, I've worked in restaurants before and little cafes, and this is for everybody. I'm very into eating local these days. And if anything, this whole situation has made me not eat conglomerates or anything like that. I don't do chains. You know, I'm really into going and supporting the local places and establishments around me. And I encourage people not only listening, but watching this video as well, to go and actually help the little guy out. Those guys are the ones that need it out. So, so that's a plug for you guys, too, for everyone in the UK. Go ahead.
A lot of the places around us are like, you know, chains, and we are quite proud to be an independent place, as you say, family run. Like after my father passed away, my brother, sister and I took over the running of the restaurant. And definitely also, like, I feel like there's definitely a culture that surrounds the restaurant. It's people that are a bit different go there and they kind of want a different experience. There's a cult. Yeah, there's like a culture that surrounds it. So it's quite nice to see that developing. Like we get a lot of musicians come there as well. That's crazy.
That's perfect. You serve them like
my brother's a musician as well. So okay. It's like they probably know it as the restaurant that's run by musicians that had to like learn how to be restaurateur really quickly.
But that's cool because, I mean, you never know when inspiration will strike, or you never know when a musician will come in and you guys just make a song like right there or something. So I if anything, that's a great idea. You know, you should publicize that a little bit more, you know, like, hey, musicians, you know, like come in and play a song or help me out on this song, this track. And I got your next linguine or something like that. So I think that would be cool. Thank you again so much. Again, blackbordello.co.uk is where you can find out more information. I have all the links on the video. Just click down there and then you're going to be able to see the links to their Spotify and their Bandcamp and whatnot. I highly recommend this album. It's something very different, and we need that these days. We need to feel that we are not different, but that we can listen to different things. I feel so many times we're pigeonholing ourselves with the types of genres of music that we listen to. We always need to expand our palate, much like food. We also have to expand that as well. So make sure to go check them out and help them out and, you know, buy their new debut album that is currently out. My guest has been Sina Bordello. Thank you again for coming on the show. Really enjoy your music. And
just quickly mentioning that we are also making... Well, we started making a new body of music, a new album, which we're starting recording on Friday. But also, we are playing on our Facebook page. I think we're doing like an online festival with some other really great acts. It's called Farm Fest. So that will be on our social media.
Cool. I will have all the links to the show notes. Make sure to go check them out. That which reminds me, last question, I swear, last question. What is your live shows about? I haven't seen you guys live or any videos, so if you can explain what that would kind of entail.
We actually like firstly a live band, like, and then a recorded band. Like, I would say that you never really get a sense of what we're like until we play live, because we tend to like be a lot more experimental. Like, we've got, sometimes we have like our friend Arthur Bentley, who's a saxophonist, you know, we get a lot of energy. I guess I like that about the way we play, because it's like very performative and high energy. And yeah, like, one of our favorite venues to play at in London is the Brixton Windmill. We had like a really great show just before the whole world shut down, which was with one of my favorite musicians, Ben Wallers, who plays as the Rebel, but he used to be in a band called the Country Teasers. Yeah, so he was playing like Country Teasers music and stuff, and he headlined the show. That was like a sellout gig, and it was just packed, which was so fun. Because I like playing when, like, the monitors are, like, falling in on us and beer's being spilled everywhere. And it feels so... I'm happy that was our last gig, because it was such a great one. But I just can't wait for that to happen again. I'm just, like, crossing my fingers every day that we'll be able to be in a sweaty room, like, all, like, smushed together again, because that's like when people are jumping around, and that's just like the best thing ever. Yeah, and like, we actually had a tour planned, and I think we couldn't do it, but I think we might do that next year. And so I'm planning to do some stuff in the US.
Oh, so, can't wait. Gotta come to LA. Let me know.
Yeah.
Let me know. I'll be there with a whalebone corset for you. It'll be great.
Oh, God. Yeah, no, that'd be great. That'd be so fun.
Cool. Thank you, Sina Bordello, again. Pleasure meeting you, and thank you for coming on. I'm very humbled by your talent, and by you just acknowledging me and wanting to be a part of the show. It's very flattering. Oh, thank you so
much. My pleasure. Thank you.
Well, that's going to wrap it up for this edition of What the Music. Again, another plug for Black Bordello, blackbordello.co.uk. But don't worry. Don't worry, I'll have all the links on the show notes, so you can just go ahead and click there. We are now going to leave you with the song from the debut album, self-titled, might I add, from Black Bordello. This is Proof Rock.
Bye.